The scripture reading this morning will be taken from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Be seated, please.
Good morning. My microphone is working this morning. I can hear it. Good to see each of you. Good to have visitors in our midst. We're very thankful for your presence and thankful to see our members. Go ahead and be turning to Luke chapter 5. That will be where our text will lead us today in our study. And that particular phrase, "Nevertheless, at your word, I will," is what we plan to discuss. You know, Jesus spent a great deal of time training and preparing his apostles, his disciples, for that time when he was no longer going to be with them. The work that they were going to be engaged with was going to be that with eternal consequences. It was going to be so important and so special of a work that he chose those 12 men for that specific job, for that specific work. And we see that elevated to a position as we think about the apostles. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine because that was Jesus' teaching. That was the doctrine that had been handed down to them by Jesus himself through the Spirit. And so they were guided to speak those words, to teach those things. But he spent a great deal of time training them, getting them ready for that particular work, getting them ready to be what he would be considering a disciple of his. And I want us to think about that this morning in our lesson, thinking about what does it take to have the mindset of a disciple. And I think this passage in Luke 5 illustrates that best for us when we see the command that Jesus gives to let down their nets on the other side. "Well, Lord, we've been fishing all night. Nevertheless, at your word, I will." There's something about that particular phrase, and we're going to open that up and spend some time looking at that. You know, Jesus charged his apostles, though, to go into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not should be damned or condemned." In Matthew's account of the Great Commission, that's Mark 16, 15 and 16. In Matthew's account, he's teaching them. He says, I want you to go and I want you to make disciples of all nations. Go and you teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And so Jesus, through his apostles, gives them command to go and to teach, to make disciples, and he told how that discipling process was going to take place. They would be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they would continue then to learn those things which Jesus was teaching. And that's ever important for us to pick up on and realize how all of this kind of comes about. And so the first question that I want us to think about as we go through this lesson this morning is, number one, are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Number two, the mindset of that disciple that we read about here in Scripture. Do we have that type of mindset? You see, and I think it's vitally important for us to consider those things even today in the world in which we live. And we look around and we know that things are not the way they should be. We see the evil in the world. We know that things are not right. No doubt, when Jesus came on the scene, when the fullness of time was come and God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, born under the law, Galatians 4 and verse 4, things were not right then. But they were ready for Christ to come. And God sent forth His Son at that point in time. And we continue this day to read and to study those things which have been inspired to be written. We have God's Word. We can read and we can study and we can know exactly what it is that He wants us to be doing today. I talked to some folks along the way, and occasionally I hear somebody say, you know, but I don't really understand the Bible. I don't really understand, you know, what it is that I'm supposed to be doing. What is my purpose in life? And people are seeking. Then I get that. We need to be seeking. But remember what Jesus said about seeking? And seeking first, in particular, the kingdom and His righteousness. And we'll talk about that passage in just a moment. But also that in seeking, we shall find. That in fact, the gospel, the truth, it'll set us free. And it's not hidden from us. It is right in front of us. God made sure that we would not be without direction in this life. And so when we see the mindset of the disciple, hopefully that's something that we can learn and something that we can apply to our own lives as well and be the type of people that God truly wants us to be. Let's read again where our brother read just a moment ago in verses 1 through 3. And so it was the multitude, it says, pressed about Him to hear the word of God. So here's a group of people. They want to hear, they want to know. And so they want to hear the word of God. Teach us the word of God. And so they're pressing upon Him. They're starting to crowd around Him. And He stood by the Lake of Gennesaret. That is simply the Sea of Galilee. In the Hebrew language, sea and lake had really no particular distinction. But this is the Sea of Galilee. And they saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them, and they were there washing their nets. And then He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and He asked him to put out a little from the land. And so that gave Him kind of a little bit of space, if you will, so that He could see the crowd, and so that He could project His voice in a way that they could all hear Him. There were many of them that wanted to hear the word of God. They're pressing upon Him, and so He gets into Simon's boat. This is Peter's boat. And he says, hey, just push it out a little bit from the land. And then he would have that opportunity to teach. And then verse 4, it says, so when He had stopped speaking, He said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to Him, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And so we see Jesus, He's teaching for a time, and then he takes a break from that teaching, and He tells Peter, He says, well, let's launch out there where it's deep, and let's let down your net. And Peter says, we've been out here all night, Lord. We've been doing this all night, and we haven't caught a thing. We haven't caught a thing. Nevertheless, because you're telling me to do this, I'm going to do it. Something about that mindset. Notice verse 6 then. And I want us to read all the way down through verse 11. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking, so that they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and to help them. And they came, and they filled both the boats, it says, and so that they began to sink. There were so many fish that they were filling. And you can imagine as they're pulling up the nets, and if you've ever been in a boat and you're trying to pull on a net, or what happened to me one time, I got my anchor hung up around a tree that was in a river, in a fast-moving river one time. And I remember my dad's up there, and he's trying to get the boat in the right position. And I'm the one that's on the front pulling on the anchor. And the more that I pull on the anchor, because it's wrapped around that tree so many times, guess where we were going? We were about to go underwater because I was just pulling it deeper and deeper and deeper down there. You know, that's interesting, but here they were catching so many fish, so much so that the boat's about to sink, that both boats are about to sink. Let's continue to read. Verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to the land, they forsook all and followed him. This is an amazing event that takes place. But did you notice the mindset of Peter in this occasion? the mindset of a disciple, that's what I want us to focus on here. In letting down the net. Jesus, this is what he instructs Peter to do. Let down the net. Lord, we've been out here all night. We've been doing this. And in fact, he could say, Lord, we're skilled fishermen. This is what we do for a living. We've been out here. Fishermen, especially commercial fishermen, they know where the fish typically are. And they have ways to know where to find them. And it's amazing. Years ago, I don't think Cindy and I were married yet, but we were dating. And her dad offered to take me fishing. We went out fishing. We were in the Okefenokee Swamp. And, this could have been a setup from the beginning. I'm sure that it probably was. He was doing his best to teach me the gospel. And if I was going to be dating his daughter, he wanted me to be right with God. And certainly, I get that. I see that. But, he's taking me out in the swamp. And he used to be a guide in the swamp. And he could cut through. And we're talking about, cypress trees. And you've got these little runs that are, barely wider than the boat. And you're literally whipping back and forth between these trees so that you can actually get through them. He knew exactly how to do it. He knew the speed with which to take them. But we had fished all day. We were bass fishing. And we had caught several of them. And then all of a sudden, he pulls over to this area. And he says, hey, let's do something different for just a little while. He said, and he handed me this pole. He said, just drop this pole. You don't have to throw it. Just drop it over the side, literally. And he's pointing to an area right there. Okay. I drop it right there. Little catfish, pan-sized catfish, just perfect. We sat there, and when we emptied that hole, we moved over about 10 feet to another little spot. He says, all right, the hole is right there. And I could drop down right there and catch him just like that. He knew exactly where the fish were. It was amazing to see. But that's how these men were. They knew where the fish were. And that night, they knew where they were not. There were no fish there. They'd been out there all night long toiling, he says. We've been working hard at this. All you have to do is watch a couple of the commercial fishing type shows and you see that it's hard work, sometimes dangerous work. But they had been fishing all night and had caught nothing. They knew where the fish were supposed to be and they weren't there. And Lord, we're tired. We've been out here working hard all night long and we've not caught a single thing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will. I will let down the net. It wasn't asking too difficult of a thing. The nets were washed, and then they wash them, and then they put them back there in the boats. It's amazing, though, to think about. It wasn't really asking all that difficult of a thing, but at the moment, in that particular moment, it kind of was for them to overcome. To think about the fact that, we've been out here and we've hit all these spots that we know where the fish are supposed to be. They're not here. Lord, we're just ready to get on back to the house, if you will. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And he does just that. Now think about this. That type of mindset. Oh, he may not have thought it was going to work. It defied to them common sense at the moment. What do we see in the result? What a great catch, right? So much so that their buddies that are probably still up there on the shore who are probably looking going, what are they doing out there? We've been out there all night doing this. And then all of a sudden, here they are straining to pull in a net full of fish. It probably didn't take much for Peter saying, hey, get over here. They were probably already headed that way. Because that's how fishermen are. They see somebody catching something. That's the hole, right? So they're going that way. And so we see the result, this great catch, overwhelming for one net and even for two boats. But in that took place, it's not just about the letting down of the net. But in the result that took place, Peter soon realizes, Lord, I'm not fit to be around you. I'm not good enough to be with you, around you. Lord, I'm a sinful man. Just leave me be. Depart from me. I'm a sinful man, O Lord, he says. Peter is then made aware of his sinfulness. And here we begin to see the mindset of a disciple of Jesus Christ. But see, it doesn't end there. We see the mindset of a disciple when we notice the laying down of the net, so to speak. He's let down the net. They've pulled in the net. But now they're going to lay down the net. So much so, and forsake all. James and John, they're obviously the other ones that are there. They're in the other boat. And they're going to forsake all and follow Jesus. He and his co-workers, no doubt astonished at the success, amazed to see these things. But Jesus would reassure Peter. You know, here you're catching fish, but I'm going to train you to catch men. Because it's the souls of men that he is concerned about. That's what he has come to this earth for, was to die to save men's souls, mankind. And in that, we have to pick up on something here as well. Because certainly this was their livelihood. They were fishermen. This is what they did. But they would give it up. Peter didn't think he could do any good. I'm a sinful man, O Lord. You know that Peter was a married man. Much of his work for the Lord was going to take him away from his home. There would be other times when they would be staying there and probably working out of Peter's home. But we read in Luke chapter 4, verse 38, he arose out of the synagogue and he entered into Simon's house. Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. And they besought him for her. Of course, he healed her. Luke 18 and verse 28 tells us, Peter said, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. Peter says, we've done this. We've forsaken all. We've left everything to follow you. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 5. The Apostle Paul wrote, Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles and the brethren of the Lord, and Cephas? In other words, and Peter. He calls out specifically Peter. Peter's done this. James and John would leave their father and the business behind. Matthew 4, 21, 22. Going from thence, it says, he saw other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. They immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. But it doesn't end there. The result of doing the Lord's work, following His word, His instructions. You see, the Lord called them to a greater service. You're fishermen. Come follow me, I'll make you to become fishers of men. In Luke 6, verse 13, it says, When it was day, He called unto Him His disciples, and of them He chose 12. He named apostles, Simon, whom He also named Peter, Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon called Zelotes, or Simon the Zealot, Judas the brother of James, Judas Iscariot, which also was the betrayer. And it's interesting, we read this. Of course, Luke's writing later and writing these things by inspiration, but looking back in time, and so makes this statement about the traitor even among them. But they would be called to greater service, but there would be even greater rewards. Luke 22, verse 28. You're they which have continued with me in my temptations, Jesus says. I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. They would have their position, not just on earth and the work that they were doing. That was the great service they were going to be doing, but there was going to be even greater reward that they would enjoy. But such is the mindset of the disciple of Christ. Nevertheless, at your word, I will. And so Peter, together with James and John, they illustrate that attitude. What does that look like for us? They characterize for us what it truly means to be a disciple of Jesus, a willingness to do whatever the Lord says, no matter the cost, and even sometimes when we don't understand why. And so we begin to apply that and look within at ourselves. What about us? Do we have the mindset of a disciple as we've looked at? In, first of all, becoming his disciple, we may look at ourselves and we may think very similarly. Depart from me, Jesus. I'm a sinful man. I am no good to you. You don't want to be around me. There are those that truly have felt that way, only to give in because they believe in Jesus so much that they'll do whatever He's asked, whatever He has said. And they have been called to great service, having realized that their past, not perfect, none of us are, but our Lord is. And the work in which we engage is that of eternity. Even the rankest of sinners could serve Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 gives us a picture of this. Beginning in verse 9 there, he says, "Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, or adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such," he says, "were some of you." You catch that? None of these individuals are going to inherit the kingdom of God. But he says, such were some of you. But, Paul writes by inspiration, but you're washed. You're sanctified. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Again, 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. So, what are we learning here? That the mindset that we may even think, much like Peter, "Lord, I'm no good to you here. There's nothing good that I could do. Just go away. I've already ruined everything." But he can take the chief of sinners, as Paul refers to himself, and make one of the greatest missionaries that we read of. We are to follow Him above all. We read about they forsook all and followed Him. Before family, before self. These are hard verses. But Jesus taught us to count the cost. What is it going to cost me to be His disciple? Luke 14, 26, "If any man come unto me and hate not his father, mother, wife, children, brethren, sisters, yea, in his own life, he cannot be my disciple." In the context, he's teaching that I have to be first. You have to put me first. Matthew 10:37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Luke 9, verse 23. He said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Deny himself. That's what we have to do. Deny ourselves. Take up that cross daily. That's the picture of death. That's what the cross stands for. Death. I have to die to self daily and follow him. For whoever, he says, will save his life shall lose it, but whoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. What is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself and be cast away? For whoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed. And who, he says, when he shall come in his own glory and his Father's and the holy angels. Jesus must come before even work. Luke 14, 16 through 24, we see that they forsook all. They left their boats and they followed Jesus. Come follow me, I'll make you to become fishers of men. Matthew 4:17. For those willing to follow, there are great rewards. Even in this present time. Luke 18 tells us, verse 28, Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. He said unto them, verily I say unto you, there's no man that has left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, he says. He said, you have to realize, you're telling me, Peter, that you've left all, you forsook all to follow me. But there's not a single one of you that have forsook all who are not going to receive greater even in this present time, even in this present age. And then the last part of verse 30 says this, and in the world to come, life everlasting. So not just in this present age, but in the age to come, eternal life. If we forsook all and didn't receive a single thing in this life, but we received eternal life, it would be worth it, would it not? So the question to us, do we still have the mindset to become a disciple? Nevertheless, at your word, I will. The second part of this, in being his disciple. This is the laying down of the net. We've let it down, said we will be his disciple, but now are we going to continue in that process? You see, it's not a one-time effort. Yes, putting on Christ in baptism. I put on Christ. I come up out of that watery grave of baptism. I have my sins washed away. And I continue then as a new creation. But being transformed and conformed to Jesus, to his life, the life that he wants for me. So in being his disciple, if the Lord may ask us things that we may not fully understand, may not make a whole lot of sense to us. We may read and study and find that there's a passage here and I'm not sure how this is all going to work out. Jesus said we're to lay up treasure in heaven instead of for ourselves here on earth. Luke 12, 15 through 21. In seeking first the kingdom of God. I mentioned that a moment ago or hinted to it. But let's look at that passage from Luke's account. Luke 12, verse 22. Luke 12. Verse 22 and verses 15 through 21, he's He's talked about that laying up treasure in heaven. Then in verse 22, he said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what will you eat, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Life is more than food, the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. He cares for them. He takes care of them, in other words. And how much more value are you than the birds? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? And if you are not able to do the least," he says, "why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies," he says, "how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Do not seek what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor have an anxious mind," he says, "for all these things the nations of the world seek after, the Gentiles seek. For your Father knows that you have need of these things, but seek the kingdom of God." And when we read it in Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount, "but seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." He goes on to say, "Don't fear. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." We may not fully comprehend and understand everything going on, but when we see our Lord's word, when we see his commands that he gives, the instructions that he gives for our lives, and being his disciple, that means that I have that mindset that says, "Nevertheless, at your word I will. I may not fully grasp it. I may not fully get it all. But you said to do it, therefore I'm doing it." You'll be blessed in so doing. The Lord may ask us things that we not fully understand. Some may not realize why being baptized for the remission of sins. And yet that's exactly what our Lord said. That baptism has, yes, to do with salvation, no matter what denominational groups teach today. Mark 16, 16, 1 Peter 3, 21, Acts 22, 16, Acts 2, verse 38. The Bible's full of those passages that teaches us the plan in order to be saved. Why observe the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week? Acts 20, verse 7. I may not fully comprehend those things, but I know that our Lord taught it. I know the apostles taught it, and we must continue in those things. Why we should not be forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. I may not fully comprehend what I'm supposed to be doing and what I get out of that, but I know that when I'm here, I'm certainly better for it. And the more that I'm here, the more that I'm going to get out of it. And the more that I'm here, the more that I'm going to understand that it's not just about me. It's me worshiping God, but it's also me encouraging and considering one another to provoke unto love and good works. It's not just always about me. I may not fully comprehend all of those things to begin with. Why singing is commanded and not playing an instrument. Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16. Why women are not permitted in public roles in worship. 1 Corinthians 14, 1 Timothy chapter 2. But for those willing to obey him, we must know that the rewards are great. Paul says our labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. And we too can look forward to a great reward, inheriting the kingdom of God. Matthew 25, 34. The king shall say to those on the right hand, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." 2 Peter 1, verse 11, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you," he says, "abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Thereafter he has talked about adding to our faith virtue, knowledge, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity, and all of those wonderful Christian graces that we read about and study about. He says, if you do those things, they make you that you're neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in so doing, if you add these things, then you'll never fall. And so an entrance will be manifested or ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom, he says, of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Is our mindset then the mindset of a disciple of Jesus Christ? Nevertheless, at your word, I will. Are you willing to be his disciple, to become his disciple? Our Lord simply says, you must believe that I am he, or you'll die in your sins, John 8:24. That we have to repent, or else we'll also likewise perish, Luke 13:3 and 5. That we must be faithful unto him and confessing his name before men. He'll confess us before the Father in heaven, Matthew 10:32 and 33. And that we must be baptized to wash away our sins, calling on the name of the Lord, Acts 22 and verse 16. That's our Lord's plan in becoming his disciple. And he has a wonderful plan for us to continue being his disciple as well. And so this morning as we close and we think about these things, we look within, we see, do I have the right mindset? You know, I think it's important to point out as well that in the Sermon on the Mount, long before Jesus had said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, he was trying to explain to them to change the way that they were thinking so that they could be prepared to follow him in whatever he was asking of them and of us. And so this morning, if you have a need, let us know how we could help or encourage you as we stand and as we sing this song.